Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Good evening and welcome to Personality Profile here on Joy 99.7 FM. I'm Lexus Bill. And today we bring you a part two of the conversation with the founder of Rabito Clinic and Paramount Chief of the Nandom Traditional Area, His Royal Majesty Na Professor Edmond Minyam Delechir VIII. He's our guest tonight as we continue our conversation, a very steamy conversation from last week. In case you missed the part one of this conversation, well, listen to excerpts from last week.
I was going to, after I was then CPP chairman, I went and talked to my people in Kumasi, and I was going to Damango. My nephew was made the bishop of Damango, so I was going to him to, look, either the driver was sleeping and I didn't know. We went and banged ourselves into a tree, and I fell out of the car. And if you saw the car, I was on my ground. Of course, I never forgot my rosary. I held it like that. Within 10 minutes, people passed. I said, this is our Rabito doctor. It was a big truck. They picked me up and sent me to the nearest clinic. I go to the nearest clinic, of course. We are all human, but I held this and said, Mary, you are my mother. Help me to make sure that I also survive. So I got there, I was quite conscious. So I immediately told them, call my son, Bangu Dele, that's my first son. Tell him to tell President Mills that I've had a very serious accident, so I need his assistance. He immediately sent a plane to pick me up and brought me here. And I went and I survived it. And many others. Yeah, so God,
I've indeed always have cheated death.
I've cheated death several times. What pained me and it remembers me is that for me to die is to live, because this is not the only place we are going to go. We'll go elsewhere, but I'm ever grateful to, in fact, the latest incident which showed my belief in God was that almost everybody knew that I was dead, because the doctors then said, looked and gave me 50 chance of success. They cut me open. So I came up and I said, Jesus Christ, the people still need me in Ghana. My people have just made me a paramount chief, so please be there. And so, look, you won't believe it. Within a week, I was walking and telling everybody, the old soldier. And the nurses were looking at this old man. What's wrong with this old man? And that's how it is. I have lived my faith.
Yeah.
And I encourage people that there is a God who looks kindly on all of us. And if you believe in this God and you follow him, don't let anything worry you. He will always take you out.
This is very profound.
And in fact, the 2001, what impressed me was that.
You mean the plane crash?
Yes. I was a lady whom I got to know 3 years after. She saw me, and because it was raining heavily, she went and ordered a taxi on her own and took me to the military hospital. But we're many, and of course, I didn't blame them. We crashed, so everybody panicked. I was pushed into a room near a toilet, and of course, people who knew me were very disturbed. How do you treat this man like that? Professor, of course, I was one of them. And I said, we are sick. So when you are sick, don't think of special solution.
Yeah.
A German friend of mine, head of the accident, he rushed to a military hospital. He said, I've heard Professor Daly is sick. He's got an accident. He said, please, give me away. This man has helped me in life, and I won't see him suffer. He just took signed me off and flew me straight to Germany. Took care of me free of charge, made sure that I was well healed before I came. So that's why I say that another thing in the years I've learned is that your God, your family, your friends. As you grow, don't forget these things. Your God, your friends, your family. This is also one secret about life. If you retire, you are condemned to death. Because you feel that society doesn't need you again. And that is what is actually making the old people to die. Because you stop them at a time when they should contribute more to society.
Okay.
And I saw it in Europe. I was invited to a university in the U.S., where I went and saw somebody. I was introduced to him. He's been there. He was 92 years old. And he was always the first to go to the... He retired. He saw even students who became professors, but he was there. So I was inspired by that. And I said, no, this is exactly the type of life I want to live.
Yeah.
I want to live and continue to show respect for my people, continue to, if my services are needed. Because one, it isn't because you share your knowledge with the younger ones. And that's why I'm teaching at the Accra, I taught in UDS for 10 years. I'm teaching at Accra College of Medicine. And if you come in my room, you see these young students with me, and I enjoy it.
Wow.
Because you hear from them, and then you exchange ideas with them. And I think old age, I would be the last person, if I were president, I would not like people to retire at the age of 65 or 70. If your brain is still working, why? Because even it's the age that we need you more, because there is no competition. You are not competing with anybody. Are you competing with anybody? No.
80 years of life.
Yes.
If I asked your proudest moment, something you look back and it just makes you proud, what will it be?
I think... I must say, my proudest moment was in my political field. When the CPP unanimously took me as their national chairman without anybody competing with me, and Gwe as the second time as chairman, is very rare. And all they did was to clap for me, and the old man has come, let's give him. Of course, I said, this type of respect I have not seen, and you know politics is a very difficult game.
Yes.
I was so happy that it's what, and that is why, as you said, I was hoping that I could stay on and go as their presidential candidate. But my people think it was time for me to get back to support them. And I, so even though that was a pleasure, but it was my political career.
Okay.
For you to be told by all the people that, look, you are going as chairman. Nobody should challenge you. And that is one of the legacies that I have, I will never forget.
Awesome. Yes. If, let's flip it now. If you look back, your biggest regret?
Actually, my biggest regret too is political. Because I thought at the time I came as chairman of the CPP, and we had people like Dr. Mahama, who was my bodyguard at Government Secondary School. When I was president of the Ghana Young Pioneers, he was my bodyguard. And the people around me were so close that I was convinced that history would put it on record that under my leadership, the legacy of CPP will be kept. We will unite without any discussion. And that was the biggest regret. In fact, we call the year was at 1992 has been one of the years that I regretted that I sacrificed. So all the splitted CPP parties, we used to come and meet here. And one of the, so when I went to Kolibu, I don't even remember what I told them. They said, no, let's come to Rabito. And all Nkrumah's small splinter parties should become one. We succeeded in a way. We got CP. Then we fought in court, they gave us CPP. So now, when Dr. Liman diet. We said, no, forget our differences. Let us have a convention people's party, including everybody. And that's my greatest regret, that despite efforts I made, I couldn't unite all CPP together. And that really is something which I felt very bad.
Why weren't you able to unite the CPP? What was the main bone of contention?
The main bone of contention was that, I don't know, I still believe they were influenced by the two big parties.
Okay.
Yes, big parties can penetrate here, penetrate there, because it is still what I still find. The things were obvious. Mm-hmm. We knew that going alone, singly, we couldn't do anything. We come together, and then this one, and it failed. And I used to tell them, united we stand, divided we fall. And that is also one of the things that has kept me saying that why? Mm. But having given up, now that I'm an elder and I'm this one, I'm still sending the message to the young ones that we must really make sure that one day we have a third force in Ghana, and that third force must be the Convention People's Party.
Hurt you that you, during your lifetime, you've not seen the CPP rise to the top? And
in fact, that is actually the challenge. I couldn't do that. I regret so much.
Yeah.
And I regret it to this day, because the young ones, I'm happy, like a young man called me and said, oh, Prof, we know you are now a chief, but are you happy seeing your party in this state affairs? I said, no, I'm not happy. But in one way, quietly on the ground, I will still call them that they should never give up.
And now we continue the conversation from this week. This is part two of our conversation with Professor Edmond Dele.
All right, so you're welcome back. This is Personality Profile. I'm Lexus Bill, and today I'm spending time with His Royal Majesty, now Professor Edmond Minyam Dele VIII. Yes, he's an amazing man, lived a very beautiful, colorful life. And today we get to learn a bit of his journey as well. And I think before we took the break, we were talking about life in Italy, how you ended up in Padua. What did you go and study there?
I went to study medicine.
Medicine, okay.
And Padua is one of the renowned old universities of medicine.
Okay.
So those who are medical students, most of the names you will read for, they are professors from Valsavio. The one who discovered the circulation of the blood, they all studied in the University of Padua.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a well-known ancient town where they were the first people to do pathological anatomy, open and do that. So it's noted for that. So it's now, of course, those days it was not easy for you to gain admission to it. But of course, the influence of the church, the bishops, he was able to get me there.
And that's where you met a certain man called Rabito.
Yes.
Who was he?
He was the professor of dermatology at the University of Padua. And what happened was that I went there December 1964. So with the cold, the eyes there, I started scratching. So I went and met him. And then he told me, where do you come from? I said, I'm from Ghana. You see, then I started scratching. He said, okay, he will see if he can stop it for me. He gave me some medicine to take. Within 7 days, the itching stopped, so he told me, look, this young man promised me you'll be a skin specialist. I know in Africa, you don't have be one of the best skin specialists. I said, I've just started a medical school. But he told me, okay, I will do what you like. And that was in December 64. From that day, he took me just like his son. Mm. So while I was doing the other subjects, but my mind was always on dermatology.
Okay.
He actually followed me up. I did my thesis in dermatology. And so, but because I intended to come back to Ghana, when I finished my first degree, that was in 1970, I told Bishop that, since I promised I'll come back to Ghana, I have to go and do tropical medicine. So strangely enough, my name was mentioned in circles, and then I was asked to go to Antwerp.
You know, Belgium?
Belgium. Normally, most of those who do it in London, but I was the first Ghanaian too up to go there. So when I finished my course in Belgium, that was the year he was made the head of department. His senior had retired. So Rabito, and the policy is that once you become head of department, you choose the people you want to be with you.
Okay.
So he immediately sent me a message that he wanted me back in Italy. I said,
what?
Okay. I said, no, I'm now the boss. So you come, my son. You'll be my first lecturer, my first assistant. So I got there. And an interesting story happened. Because when I got there in the night, mm-hmm. you see, but he has instructed they should give me a room where I will sleep. So I went there and I slept. But there were patients, there were 60 of them. Then one of the patients came with an asthmatic attack in the night. Mm-hmm. But they didn't even know that I was black because I came in the night and they just put me in there. So in the night when this patient had the asthmatic attack, the senior nurse said, who is this one? We thought he was somebody coming from Belgium, a white man, and you have this little black man. What does he know? And I heard this. That was the first discriminating, I'm black, short, small boy. What does he know? And he spoke in Italian. They didn't know I had studied there. So I quietly, without their eyes, I just woke up from the place and said, Prego, mi dia una fiale di aminofilina. Excuse me, can you give me a vial of aminofilin for the asthmatic? You can imagine the sorrow there. We didn't know that this man could even speak Italian. But I never mentioned it to Rabito. I went, we gave it, and the patient survived. And then they thought I would report them. I didn't report them. Because how do they consider a young man like that? What do he know? Even understand Italian. So they were teasing them. After that, the nurses came to apologize to me. And I said, no, you are forgiven. Mm. So don't think we black people, the late cardinal, that. And I also made a promise after reading Nkrumah's autobiography. He was not against your going out, but make sure that you come back and serve your people. Mm. And so I actually wrote the bishop before I left that, when I finish, I'll come and serve Ghanaians.
I see.
I'm not going to stay there because the type of thing Rabito was doing for me was unmistakable. Mm. I went there after 6 months. He made me the doctor in charge of almost 1/4 of Italy.
Wow.
He taught me dermatology fast track. And then imagine a young man, they push you into a hospital. You are the dermatologist. So I had to learn very fast in the night and go and do that. And so when he realized this, what he decided to do was take all those who were seniors to me and transfer them to other universities so that he would lift me up. And when he retires, I'll take over as head of the first black man. But unfortunately for him, my promise to come back to Ghana still stayed in my mind.
Yeah.
So he did all he could.
I
explained it to him. Much as you love me, much as you do this, but I promised my people that I'll go back.
Mm.
So he didn't object to it. And then he, in the long run, he agreed that I could come back to Ghana.
And that's when you came to set up your clinic.
My clinic.
And you named it after him.
After him. So I named it after him.
Wow.
Yes. And
that's
he followed me up throughout and he told me, he assisted me that since I wanted to come back to Ghana, he showed me to. And the interesting thing was that in 1972, we organized, Padua University organized the first Congress of the International Congress of Dermatology.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, when the professors came, I was his little boy. Mm-hmm. He would take me around and introduce them to all the professors who mattered at that time. So it was very easy for me to go through. So for instance, when he asked me to choose a subject which I thought would create interest for all dermatologists in the world, he asked me to do a thesis on atopic eczema, on eczema.
Okay.
And this is the starting point. So I wrote to all people I knew in Ghana and people I knew, and they said that we don't have eczema in black people.
Hmm.
So of course, I wrote it down get the thesis. I did very well. They praised me. Then he took my thesis and distributed it all the world. Proud of his young man. Then the thesis got to France, okay. Strasbourg. Not knowing that there was a professor there called Basset. He had been in Senegal for about 10, 12 years. So he called me, he said, my young man, I disagree with your thesis. It's because the research you have done there, you can't be blamed, but you come to me in France. And then we work together. So he brought me to France, Strasbourg. So Rabito Aouminel. So we went there. And the first thing he did was that, let me show you that the black skin is not a skin that is so sensitive that it does, but it does work. So we did it, and my hand got swollen to prove that all those things they wrote about the black people were lies. Mm. But that, even in some books now, despite of. So that made me popular. All the people saw it, and I had to let them rewrite a thesis there.
Okay.
To change the ideas.
Yeah.
I wrote to Ghana. They said the only factory we had at that time was the Takoradi cement factory. And they never got any cases of eczema. I wrote to Kolibu, the same thing. So of course, I was comfortable in my thesis, but yeah. It was proved later on by that man wrong. So I thank God
yeah.
I got a mentor, Rabito, yeah. and this man to Professor Basset. And I'm happy to say, because of Rabito, he introduced me to all the dermatologists in the world who mattered. Always saying, this is my son, this yeah. is my son. No. He did a great thing wow. for me. That is why I've named the clinic after him.
How has it been running it for 50 years?
Now, that's a very good question. When I came to Ghana, who was 74, was it not Achampong's time? Mm-hmm. So as soon as I got here, I've never stepped foot in Kolibu for one day. Not one day. I just made up my mind that I will start the first private clinic of skin in Ghana without stepping to for even one day. And I said the UAC training helped me. Mm-hmm. So I went, and of course, I went round, I went and talked to the minister, Solomi, at that time. So he told me that, look, you are coming to Ghana. Ghanaians have no interest in their skins. So you will not succeed as a dermatologist.
Mm.
Oh yes, he said, I will not succeed. So to help me, he said, if I'm doing it, I should make sure that I add general medicine.
Okay.
And then I should establish a laboratory. So if the skin side, I feel at least.
You can do so, general yes, medicine so, and get some.
We are preserving the name of the first patient I saw is here. So he said this, but I was positive. My mind was already made that I will break the record, of course. The first patient was a woman hairdresser. We have the second patient, somebody brought a box containing rabbits. We got Rabito. So I was sitting at the place there expecting my second or third patient. And saw them, oh, thank God that now Ghana has a rabbits clinic. And I looked at this and I said, oh, no, I'm not. It's Italian. It's Rabito.
It's not a rabbit's clinic.
Yeah. Oh, so he laughed. And then to follow the minister, the third patient I had was a pregnant woman.
Hey.
I said, hey, is that the Ghana? I'm a skin specialist. And what I see is rabbits and a pregnant woman. Because as far as they were concerned, a doctor is a doctor.
Yeah.
We should know everything. So the minister was right.
Yeah.
And fortunately too, because I went to Belgium to do the tropical medicine, so it was not a strange thing to me.
Okay.
So I was able to go through. And interestingly enough, Rabito's direct classmate was a family doctor.
Mm.
So every time we had holidays, he would send me to this family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just, once he's Rabito's son, he would tell me, go here. And I remember an incident which made me to say that God, So in the night, I got up there. Then somebody knocked at my door. That, what is wrong? Please, we have a serious case. A woman is trying to deliver. So they have asked me, I'm not a gangster. And I said, Jesus Christ, save me. So I went. And this woman was really in. But I learned something that they said, be careful. When you see a case like that, allow God to do it. Mm. It is only when it's bad you come in. So I went. And I was just making my prayer. This baby, please come out. And the baby came and I said, you see the black man, he's a magician. I said, the baby is a new that. He either came out on his own or he was that. So this I will never forget. Baby came, I tied. And there was rumor all over that this black man is a magician. He didn't even do anything.
The baby came.
He didn't come. So that's one of the things that Rabito did well. So from here, of course, and I couldn't speak English well after speaking Italian for a long time.
Oh.
If you see the first ones, I used to write them even in Italian.
I see.
Then gradually I picked up. Yeah. And I'm grateful to my senior colleagues because when this makes the young people who are coming to professions respect your elders.
Right.
So as soon as I came and I was put there, I went to Kumoji. Mm. His clinic was famous at that time. So I went and said, oh, I've come. I'm a young man and I'm starting this and I'm coming to ask for your help. He said, oh, sit down, young man. So we did it. Then I went to North Ridge Clinic to Kwaku. Mm. And I was down with him. Then I went to Nyaho Clinic. He was this one. They saw a young man, and I went to Bano Clinic. Mm. So I went there and sat with them, told me that I'm just a young doctor who has come, and I'm starting my own clinic. And I know you people have been there for a long time. So I said, oh, no, no. So I tell people, respect your elders.
Yeah.
And that is why I succeeded.
Wow.
Because they showed me the tricks of the game, and they guided me.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful to this, and particularly, I also came and met Sakifio, the first dermatologist in Ghana.
Mm.
And Professor Adi is still around. So I went to them and then I told them I've come, but I want to start my own clinic. So I owe it a lot to my seniors who guided me, showed me. And even there was a white man at the Ridge Hospital. He said, oh, we don't know much about black skin, but we hear you are an expert on it because I did black dermatology because of the Frenchman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
congratulations.
So I'm grateful to
50
my,
years, yes. And now you have 27 branches.
Yes, yes.
And all over the country.
Yes, more will come.
In fact, really?
So more will come. And this is the thing I was telling the GIMPA students. I wish I had an exercise book to show how Rabito started. Everything that happens in the world, you must have a plan. That book is still there. When I go to GIMPA to lecture, I show it to them. You imagine a young man coming. I took this notebook and wrote that in 30 years, I must have 30 clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached that. It's only now the young men have come. You know, they are business people.
Yeah.
My purpose was actually to take skin services to the remotest place.
Yeah.
But of course, that you pay a lot for it.
Absolutely.
You know, I was having accidents, crashes, and so forth. So when these children came, you know, now is they have taken it as a business.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but I took it actually as service to my country.
Okay.
So we reached the 30. Mm. It's because now they are closing some. Otherwise, we would have got to 50. Yes, but the children came in and said no. Economically, it's economic madness.
Yeah.
I'm also grateful to the governments because the government supported me, to be honest. Because I remember we had to cooperate with them, and then anything they had about dermatology, they would invite me.
Mm.
And I even served as one of the roving ambassadors of dermatology paid by the NDC government at Rawlings.
Okay.
So they made me to go from hospitals to visit to prescribe.
Okay.
And government paid for my trips.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So actually, I'm also grateful that government sacrificed. And then the number of accidents are crashed to the extent that during NDC time, the then Minister of Health said, no, we have to help you. It's not fair that you are. So they got me a vehicle for Rabbi to, as a little contribution from government to support my efforts. So for that, that's grateful. So Rabito has, we are known more for the skin than anything. 90% of our patients come because of skin diseases.
Okay.
The 10%, and now the women too are pushing their way through that. We shouldn't forget them. So we have now established a gynecology specialty under my brother, Dr. Derry Adome.
Okay.
Because if you are to serve the country, you can't limit yourself. Even though we are known for the skin, but you can come and do general medicine.
Yeah.
But I'm still pushing for the skin. My reason for pushing for the skin is that it's the largest organ of the body.
True.
And the motto for my university, with the help of God, I want to establish a university of dermatology, the first of its kind in the world. There is none. So I'm preaching this for 5 years, telling them. And in fact, when I mooted this idea 10 years ago, Ugandans came, Nigerians came, and this one. And I started training them here. They have all qualified now as dermatologists. My teaching them and then getting these. In fact, there is one Nigerian, Dr. Osazua. She started her own, but she learned from here.
Oh,
I gave them the training.
Right.
So you can see that. I'm happy to say Rabito has become a training center.
Okay.
So the Accra College of Medicine, they bring the students here. I train them and I go and teach.
Yeah.
And that is at the age of 80. They won't let me off. They said, oh.
Yeah.
No, so I'm really happy.
Yeah.
So my dream is, with the support of my children, we should be able to start the first
dermatology
in the world.
In the world.
There is none of it in the world.
Okay.
We have contacted Harvard University, California was there, and my University of Padua.
Okay.
And they are helping us to start one. Because my reason for it is that cutis salutem. Cutis means skin. Health. If you have a good skin, you have good health. If you don't have a good skin, you cannot have good health. It covers us all over the body, isn't it? And then your skin is your passport to society. I always say, a pimple on your face, on a person, is more important to her than war in Afghanistan. What does it matter? So you is your passport to society. So nobody wants to see a pimple. People will ask you, what is it? So skin, and then don't forget, don't mind, they say, don't mind the body. Mind the engine, but not with the skin. On the contrary, I always ask people a simple question. Before we had thermometers and all this, how were we able to tell whether you are you have malaria or not? Our mothers, they do this, isn't it? So it is the most appropriate organ to show you whether you are healthy or not. I just pull your eyes and I'm able to tell you that, look, you are anemic. So people must know that nobody cares about your stomach pain, but as for your skin, and look at our nails. Women, look at how beautiful the nails are. People watch all that. Your hair and the mucous membranes. I teach my students three things about the skin. First, your skin has to do with your skin proper. It has to do with your hair, is that not? It also has to do with what? Your sweat glands and all those things. And it has to talk about your lips because it's part of the skin. And even the woman, it goes from the skin into this one. So we deal with all these. And so whether external or internal, the dermatologist is there.
So are you able to give us, just to wrap up on that part of the conversation,
yes,
three must-do things to take care of our skin to have a healthy skin?
Number one. Cleanliness of the skin. Cleanliness of the skin. And people disturb the skin a lot. You scrub the skin too much. People must be gentle with the skin. So you get a soap, if it's a good soap. For instance, I did a research on Anago Samina for the 15, 20 years ago. It's good. But it's when they begin to mix it with other things, then it is bad. So if you do that and you wash, so that you, You see, sweat doesn't accumulate. If it accumulates, it smells, doesn't it? Who likes it, you know? And in between your toes, your groin, those are the places you must make sure you wash on daily basis and get a good soap. That's the number one thing. If you want to have a good skin, that one, clean your, and the hair. You find, you go there, the wind blows in, you have fungal spores and other things there. So try to comb the hair, do it nicely. And don't forget your ears, under your ears. And those things are very, very important for the skin. Of course, the second thing is your food.
Okay.
As I started telling you, if you want to have a healthy skin, you must eat well. And by eating well, I see have good nutrients. If, I cannot say you shouldn't eat meat, but don't do it in too much.
Yeah.
Take in more vegetables and eat a lot of carrots, a lot of greens, and those things are very, very good for your skin. And you know, our old ladies knew better than us. All these creams we spend on these beauty things, sometimes they are no good for the skin, because the greatest protector for the skin is what? The black color, which we call melanin.
Melanin, yeah.
And we are taught wrongly, they say we should pull it off. When you pull it off, you are likely to have what? Cancer of the skin. And see our brothers who are walking about without melanin. We shouldn't call them albinos. They don't like it. They are living with albinism. If you look at them well, you don't need to be a doctor. You see, they have sores all over the place. So we don't expect you to go and use creams which they say will make your skin fair. You don't know what the chemicals are there for.
Yeah.
Simple moisturizing creams, which you can get in the market. Water-based, more importantly, water-based. Look at it. If there is too much chemical inside, try to avoid it. Because I studied the black skin as against the white skin. So I'm able to advise better. And as I said, moisturizers are very good. And I also take water.
Okay.
Drink a lot of water to flush away any toxins. So don't go and buy expensive things. And of course, I talked about the exercise. When you do that, after all, the skin too is a way of disinfecting. When you touch your sweat, what happens? Salt and these things come out. So it's also a means of getting rid of your skin. And simple things like that will make you have a glowing skin.
Okay.
Back in the villages, if you watch our mothers, I was there with my mother, they will go and get this groundnut paste. Am I wrong? They will put it on it, clean it, and they will remove all the... And if you see how their skins are shining, with very little, but these days...
Okay.
I'm not against using cosmetics,
but
be very careful, because they also give us a lot of allergies. So this time we are trying to do it in such a way, sooner than later, test your skin. See what you can tolerate and what you cannot tolerate. That does not mean that we don't want beauty. We want beauty. In fact, Rabito has established a cosmetic center because of beauty. So you come and we can tell you what things which are suitable for your type of skin.
So okay. Let's talk about... you wanted to be the flag bearer.
I wanted to be. Now I'm not.
Now you don't want to.
I can't be.
Because you are the paramount chief of the Nandom traditional area. How have you found that role? It's been 4 years, right?
Yes.
Since you took up the the seat.
Seat 4 years, yes.
How has it been so far?
Well, it is also, I am comfortable, but my love for dermatology makes me to feel that I can't abandon my patients.
Okay.
Because that's what keeps, but I'm happy working with my own people, own people, and I'm learning a lot from them.
Okay.
And I think it's good, because when you go there, now as paramount chief, I have the elders to guide me. But I now have to know how to resolve issues in the families.
Yeah.
So this is something that the courts should assist us.
Okay.
They should train us on little more, but
dispute resolution. And all of that.
But honestly, I'm happy the minister was also mentioning it. It is a tradition we should not throw away.
Okay.
Because if you go to them, and then you learn from them, they are able to. You come and see them bringing family cases. If you take them to the court, it will take years. But when you sit down together with the elders, you are able to talk to them, and then
okay.
So I will say that I'm reasonably comfortable. With the good news is that being the paramount chief, I have my elders with me, and I have my younger brother who is staying as the he's actually sitting there on my name. He represents me,
okay.
And I go from time to time. And okay. Of course, the elders, the other chiefs, I have about 50 or 60 chiefs under me.
Okay.
30 of them are paramount, they are divisional chiefs.
Okay.
And they are of different categories. Some of them have been professors in the university, others have been lecturers, others are engineers. So now the chieftaincy thing, we are bringing people, yes. And so
it's a long. Yeah.
So we are learning. For instance, my first Pan-African, the first Kakube festival I made, I was so impressed that the young ones are coming, they all came to contribute so that we learn about our tradition.
Okay.
And we also learn about the moral aspect of being a chief. Because the chief is a sample of purity. So they will tell you, you cannot just be moving with any girl.
Yeah.
Even if it tells you, you can't even have a girlfriend. If you have, you have to report to the. And then they show you these little things. Now, I'm no longer the person who has to take your time. And you see the smokes they give to us. What does it mean? Heavy.
Yeah.
It's you have a heavy job to do. So you must go step by step. Take your time. The chief should not be in a hurry. And I'm learning a lot from it.
Wow.
Because sometimes you come here, I forget and I start. So this reminds me that as a chief, you should be gentle.
And you should take your time.
And you take your time. You know, and it's not easy because...
It's interesting you mentioned the factor also, the bit about you cannot be seen around with any girl and whatnot.
Yes.
Does your role also come with what they call these two wives?
Yes. Of course, that is one thing about it that... Well, that's why they say you should report.
Mm.
But I'm a staunch Catholic. So we have the Association of Christian Chiefs.
Okay.
So I have to make it clear to them that it's this one. Yes, they can give you a woman who will guide you. She will teach you certain things. But you are not supposed to have anything to do with. Of course, because polygamy is allowed. Well, you can, and don't let it be like the case of the chief. And you resolve marital problem. I give you this so that we laugh a bit. You know, there was this paramount chief, and two men were fighting for a very beautiful girl. And then they brought the case to the palace. The paramount said, looked at the girl, beautiful, and this one. Well, said, let me go and ask the oracle what he should tell me. He came and said, oh, the oracle has simplified it. I'll marry her, and the young people can go. No, it looks like a joke, but it's a fact.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yes, you can take decisions. And when you take, it's final.
Oh.
Yes, once you have sat with your elders and you take a decision.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing I like. Some litigation which have been going for years, you sit with your elders, you sit with them, they have confidence in you, and then that's you are able to resolve it. But not this one, just is an exceptional case. But it is a fact. It is
okay.
Not a joke. He was giving us, you have a lot.
But you're not polygamous, are you?
Oh, no. I'm a staunch Catholic.
So you married one?
Yes, you have one, and you can't.
Okay. You didn't follow your father's footsteps?
Oh, no. I hope now I won't even follow.
Now that you achieved that, you're even allowed to take more.
No. I think.
And how many children did you?
I have five children.
Including one very popular one.
Sangu.
Sangu Dele.
Yes, Sangu Dele.
Very
yes.
instrumental young man doing a lot across Africa as well.
Yes.
I'm sure you must be proud of him.
I'm very proud of him.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud of him.
He's actually one of the leaders in Harvard, isn't it?
Yes. He's actually
one of the
directors of Harvard University.
Oh, right.
The second black man to be a director.
Wow.
You know, they put the South African, Tutu.
What Desmond Tutu?
Yes, he was the first black man to be made a director of Harvard University. And Sangu is the second.
Wow.
Yes. Not to talk about the Economic Forum, where he's the youngest member of the World Economic Forum.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I think he has even set up something for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is, a scholarship scheme.
Oh, the Edmond Delay Research Travel Fund.
He has set up a fund.
Ah.
Yes. He has set up a fund. And one thing he has done, I'm very proud of him, is that I've made him a development chief.
Okay.
It's one of the, I took him as a development chief. And the first thing he has done is to make a foundation, international foundation, that will deal with, first, education.
Okay.
Educating our people. The standards have gone so bad in London that I'm weeping about it. Well, you'll be surprised that the people, the performance, if you check records, Nandom was leading in the whole of Black Africa. With one house, you see he's a professor, one is an engineer, one is this, and you'll be surprised.
But when now it's not the same.
It's not the same. The children are no. Well, the Galamsey is going there and there. I have stopped it in Nandom.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I've told them, no, I'm not going to allow this to happen. The children will go there and this one. So now, the second thing he has done, I'm happy about it, is that he's interested in mental health.
Okay.
Which we ignore.
Yeah.
In fact, during the foundation, I invited one of the professors of neurology, and he tells me that 20% of Ghanaians, we also need mental counseling, not because we are mad, but a lot of things. But the thing that touches my heart about his foundation is that the job creation for the youth.
Okay.
He's really out for it. As for education,
yeah,
that's his first priority. Those who cannot afford, when they contact him, he pays for that.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, so I'm very proud of him.
One last thing about politics.
Yes.
Before we wrap up.
Yes.
Do you see the CPP ever winning the slot to lead this country?
I'm very optimistic that sooner than later, with the mistakes we have made and with the fact that we have two parties only, I believe strongly, and some of us, even on our dying beds, will tell them that I am very convinced that sooner than later, because the youth who approached me just before you came to interview, a young man called me and said, oh, Prof, this is your party. Do you see the state in which it is? And what are you doing? I said, no, I cannot be in active politics, but nobody can stop me for counseling, making sure that we bring peace and harmony. So I am confident because, strangely, when I talk to the youth and those who go abroad and go and see what they say about Kwame Nkrumah, I went to Washington and they said nobody could enter there. As chairman, I showed him, oh, please come. And they showed me a whole array of books concerning Kwame Nkrumah and told me, so definitely, I'm proud of him because even those who opposed him now have accepted that they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Nyerere is one of them.
Mm.
So if the youth go about history, if they had a chance to read about this man, I am sure that a moment will come when they will review their stance.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, this has been really great. I've totally enjoyed having a conversation with you and, of course, celebrating your journey. And, of course, the journey of Rabiuto, 50 years of helping Ghana. We say thank you so much.
For me, I can only say that it's an opportunity my country has given to me. And I am, my loves are that I love dermatology. So I love working with my patient. My second love is definitely politics.
Okay.
And I owe it a lot to Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah for what I am today.
Yeah.
Because in 1957, when we had independence, there was only one graduate from the whole North. And in less than 10 years, we could count a graduate in almost any house. And this was this education that he came to help us. So some of us will find it difficult to, we cannot disregard what their contributions are.
There.
One thing I always tell the youth to remember is that even your greatest critic, Dubuahene was my friend. I've read his book several times. And he made a prophecy that the more time goes, the greater Nkrumah will become.
Right.
And we are seeing it now.
Yeah.
You go to most universities now in Africa, they have a desk for Kwame Nkrumah. So I think we are not saying that other people didn't contribute. No, other people contribute. But he has played a unique role, not only for Ghana, for Africa. All and right. we should continue to pray that one day, we may not, the younger ones will come and they dig into history and will come that it isn't that Nkrumah failed Ghana. We failed him. Mm. If we had listened to him, I don't think Ghana would have been as it is today because we had all the points he gave us. The independence of Ghana is meaningless without the total liberation of the African continent. Are we not there? I prefer independence with danger than servitude in tranquility. You see?
Yeah.
We have won political independence. Our war now is how do we win our economic independence? If we, the elders, have failed, the youth must not fail. They should come together, and I always ask people, consider Ghana first.
All right. With direction from people like you, we will survive and we'll make it happen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
it's
Prof.
A pleasure.
God
Thank
bless you.
You
so much.
Thank you.
His Royal Majesty, Na Professor Edmond Dele Chiru VIII, the Paramount Chief of the Nandom Traditional Area. I'm Lexis Bill, and this has been Personality Profile. And I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Stay tuned in, and on behalf of my crew, we say